Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include: Media exposes Chinese consulate's attempt to stop Falun Gong activities in Western Australia. New Zealand, promoting Falun Gong at a cultural event in Christchurch. Young entrepreneur, if not for Juan Falun, I would not be alive today. Can the wisdom of the ancients guide us today? Taipei, Taiwan, young practitioners inspired at 3-day Falun Dafa camp. And Falun Gong practitioners in Cyprus raise awareness about the persecution. Now for the stories.
Media exposes Chinese consulate attempts to stop Falun Gong activities in Western Australia. The Chinese consulate in Western Australia has contacted the city of Perth on many occasions, attempting to persuade officials to stop the city from issuing permits to Falun Gong practitioners for their activities and demonstrations. According to a report by Nathan Hondros, published by digital media WA Today on February 11th, the Chinese consulate frequently contacts the city's executive management team to complain about Falun Gong practitioners' protests, but officials have always rejected these requests. The City of Perth's Community Development General Manager told Mr. Hondros that the City of Perth has noted the consulate's concerns, but continues to issue permits for Falun Gong practitioners' activities because they have always complied with the law. Falun Gong practitioners in Western Australia regularly hold activities throughout the city's central business district and near the Chinese consulate office to raise awareness of the Chinese Communist Party's torture and illegal detention of practitioners because of their belief. In 2018, Australia media excised the Chinese consulate's attempt to have Falun Gong barred from participating in the Perth Christmas parade. Falun Gong had participated in the parade every year since 2008. Albert Lin, a representative from the Western Australia Falun Gong Association, said that the CCP had tried to stop their peaceful protests on countless occasions. Mr. Lin said that practitioners were often harassed or threatened in Perth. In recent years, countless reports have been published in Australian media about the CCP's infiltration, and these reports have drawn the attention of elected officials as well as ordinary Australians. The CCP tries to influence Australian society through bribing politicians, making contributions to influence policy making, controlling student organizations and Chinese media in Australia, and setting up organizations such as the Confucius Institute.
New Zealand, promoting Falun Dafa at a cultural event in Christchurch. New Zealand is still enjoying the tail end of its summer. In Christchurch, the largest city in the South Island, pleasant sunny weather greeted the Inner City East Multicultural Festival in Doris Glusk Reserve on Saturday, February 15th. Falun Dafa practitioners had a booth at the event to connect with the community and let more people know about the practice and the persecution in China. Many Christchurch locals came over to the Falun Dafa booth and browsed through the books, flyers, and brochures. Some learned how to make paper lotus flower bookmarks at the booth, while others learned the Falun Dafa exercises. During the event, the host introduced Falun Dafa to the crowd many times through the sound system. Several people came over to invite Falun Gong practitioners to teach the exercises at their organizations. Visitor Callum connected with the principles of truthfulness, compassion, tolerance, and wanted to learn the exercises right there at the event. He sat on a mat and followed along as a practitioner showed him how to cross his legs and hold his hands and arms for the meditation. He said excitedly, "I really can feel the energy there under my palms. I feel like I'm floating." After learning the meditation, he browsed the falundafa.org website for the exercise instruction videos. He said he wanted to go to a practice site to do the exercises with practitioners. He left his contact information. A man named Connor talked to a practitioner and said that he was looking for a cultivation way to change his inner world. The practitioner explained Falun Dafa to him and shared some of his experiences of benefiting from the practice. Connor was deeply touched and said he had quit drug and alcohol addictions half a year ago. He learned the exercises and left his contact information so he could join a local group exercise practice. He said, Falun Dafa is what I had been searching for. Many people signed on a petition calling for an end to the forced organ harvesting in China after reading brochures and talking to practitioners. A visiting Chinese retired couple quit the Chinese Communist Party and its affiliated organizations they had joined many years earlier. The husband said, Today, we severed our connection with the party. I feel very relieved after talking with you. I truly can feel the truthfulness, compassion, and beauty in you.
Young entrepreneur, if not for Duan Falun, I would not be alive today. A Chinese book that has been translated into more than 40 languages has been read by millions of people around the world. A Polish youth found this book at a time when he had lost all hope and wanted to end his life. Not only did this book save him, it also revitalized his life. Fabian's parents separated and started new families of their own soon after he was born. He was brought up by his grandparents. He never saw his parents smile at him lovingly, nor does he remember any warm hugs. I became very miserable as I grew older because my classmates had parents, but I didn't. My grandparents were my parents. He always felt lonely. His grandparents took him to church, hoping he would believe in God. But Fabian found that some of the congregation did not practice what they preached. This made him decide not to believe in anything. Fabian grew into an intelligent boy, but being unhappy with school, Fabian and several friends became hackers. They stole confidential information and sold it to companies, amassing a huge fortune. However, his conscience told him this would lead him to a dead end. I told my friends we should do the right thing, but they refused to listen. A phone call in 2016 shattered his world like a bomb. I received a phone call from my grandmother while she was vacationing in Spain. She was crying at the other end. She told me my grandpa had passed away. The news was like a bolt out of the blue. Devastated, I started to think about who I was and what I was going to do from then on. I gradually began to think that money was not the most important thing because it cannot buy time, nor is there a way to make my grandfather alive again. He started to read books suggested by people on the internet. He compiled a list of more than 20 books, including books on Christianity, Islamism, Buddhism, Confucius teachings, and Falun Dafa. He said, When I opened the 15th book on my list, Duan Falun, and read the first chapter, I knew it was what I had been searching for. As Fabian started to read Duan Falun, he discovered that he would gain new understandings every time he read it. Sometimes I would ponder Master's teachings for a long time. Parts I didn't understand in the beginning, when I read them again, I would gain a totally different perspective. Although he faces the same people and things in life, Fabian now sees everything from a new perspective. I know that as long as I follow the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance taught by Falun Dafa, I won't be lost. No matter how hard it is, there is a solution for it. I would say that if not for Duan Falun, I would not be alive today. Now 27 years old, Fabian has a company in Portugal and Germany and plans to start a third company in Taiwan. Meanwhile, he has reached out to his parents and their children. After not seeing them for a long time, the teachings of Falun Dafa have changed him. He stopped resenting his parents some time ago and now treats everyone like his loved ones and hopes to tell them personally how Falun Dafa changed his life for the better.
Can the wisdom of the ancients guide us today? Many stories of ancient wisdom have been preserved and passed down over the centuries. To those with an open mind, these stories may be more than simple myths and legends. Zhang Daoling, a renowned Taoist during the Eastern Han Dynasty, had tens of thousands of disciples. Like other Taoists, he focused on character improvement and spiritual enlightenment. One story well known in Chinese history was called the Seven Tests, a series of trials that Zhang set up to test his disciple Zhao Sheng. These included the tests of patience, lust, greed, fear, anger, sympathy, and faith. Zhao passed them all, and he also became a renowned Taoist. Besides teaching his disciples, Zhang also guided the public to strive for a higher moral standard and better conduct. One example was his unique way of dealing with plagues. Zhang asked those infected to write down all the wrongdoings they had ever done in their entire lives. Then they were to place the paper in water and vow to the divine not to do bad things again. Many people followed this advice and recovered. More people heard about this, did as instructed, and were cured. As a result, Zhang and his disciples saved hundreds of thousands of lives. He Qiu, a famous Confucian scholar who lived at the time of Zhang Daoling, believed that plagues were caused by vicious thoughts and actions. He wrote, "When people are ill or infected with plagues, it is because of the vicious energy in them." Throughout Chinese history, from emperors to ordinary citizens, people tended to look within when disasters hit and reflected on what they had done wrong that might have invited plagues or other misfortune. They would then correct their mistakes and improve themselves. In many cases, as people repented their wrongdoings, the illnesses and plagues miraculously vanished. Hundreds, even thousands of years have passed, but many ponder that these ancient stories may still hold value for us and for future generations.
Taipei, Taiwan. Young practitioners inspired at three-day Falun Dafa Camp. The 2020 Taiwan Falun Dafa Young Practitioners Camp was held at National Taiwan Normal University on February 1st through the 3rd, 2020. 140 young practitioners studied the Falun Dafa teachings, did the exercises together, exchanged their cultivation experiences, and clarified the facts about Falun Dafa and the persecution to tourists. The camp coordinator said the camp aimed to provide a forum for young practitioners to exchange their cultivation experiences, encourage each other to advance diligently in their practice of Falun Dafa, and talk about how they cultivated themselves by following Falun Dafa's principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. Li Yanlin, a student at National Cheng Chi University, shared his experience of overcoming his attachment to comfort. "Cultivation has laid a great foundation for my truth, clarification, and academic studies," he said. After attending an experience-sharing conference in November, Yanlin realized that he should participate in group studies and exercises. He now gets up early every morning, no matter how cold or tired he is. He reports that after doing the exercises and studying a lecture at Juan Falun, he feels clear-minded. His diligent cultivation has helped him eliminate his attachment to comfort and to do better in school. "Cultivation gives me a calm and sharp mind. When I didn't cultivate myself well, I was confused no matter how much I read. When I cultivated myself well, I could see clearly the key points of what I was studying." Yanlin found that he was able to do a better job of truth clarification after he became diligent in cultivation. He helped promote the screening of the documentary Transcending Terror, and told people about the persecution of Falun Dafa practitioners by the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. By looking within, Yanlin also gained a better understanding of relationships between men and women. He said, "As cultivators, we should treat the opposite gender appropriately and politely." The young practitioners went to several tourist attractions around Taipei, where they did the exercises, talked to people about Falun Dafa, and collected signatures on a petition that calls for an end to the persecution. Their enthusiasm touched many people's hearts. Yanlin helped collect signatures at a busy shopping district in Taipei. He talked to everyone who passed by, and he remained calm no matter how people responded. One tourist said that as a Christian, he couldn't sign to support another belief. Jan Lin explained how the CCP persecutes all people of faith, including house Christians, Buddhists, Taoists, and others. The tourist then signed the petition and said that he sympathized Falun Dafa practitioners.
Falun Gong practitioners in Cyprus raise awareness about the persecution. Practitioners from Cyprus held a Falun Dafa activity in Larnaca, the oldest city of Cyprus, on Sunday, February 16th, on the beautiful promenade next to the historic medieval fort. Six practitioners performed the peaceful Falun Dafa exercises, while two practitioners talked to the people who were interested in learning more about the practice and the persecution in China. A young British man, who is a project manager who travels often for his business, already knew about Falun Gong. He said that he knew Falun Gong practitioners as kind people who are wrongly persecuted in China. He also wanted to learn more about the Chinese regime's forced organ harvesting from prisoners of conscience. He said to the volunteer, "I've also heard that some people who were in a hurry to get an organ were rushing to China, and the organs of Falun Gong practitioners were selected because they are healthy." A practitioner told him that there have been resolutions passed by the American Congress and the European Parliament urging the CCP to stop the forced organ harvesting. Also, independent investigators David Kilgore and David Mattis have conducted extensive research with undeniable facts about the ongoing crime of organ harvesting. The practitioner referenced their book, Bloody Harvest, and suggested that the man read it to learn more about the situation. After listening attentively, the young man said, "The Chinese government are like zombies. They want to stay there forever." He also said he believes that things are going to change, and the important part is not whether the persecution will stop, but when. He said it is important to end it sooner and save people from torment. He finally said, "I hope it ends soon. Thank you." From this conversation, I gained some insights about my life as well. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.